Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
The Walking Dead Talk Through, episode 86, The Obliged Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
You may have heard our new bumper, which we got courtesy of, well, of course, Mark was able to get it. But that is Callum McAuliffe, who plays Alden. And I want to start our episode tonight with some errata. And that's simply because last episode, nobody called me on it, but I got Alden's name wrong. I called him Aiden. Aiden, of course, was Deanna's son who got gruesomely killed the same episode that Noah got killed in season 5, episode 14, which is Spend. And since I've given that errata, I got to give credit to Steve, who actually, Steve, we've invited Steve to join us next week. So he'll be on for the very special episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through when we suffer through the last episode of Rick Grimes. Yeah. But anyway, he mentioned in the voicemail that Daryl had the ethanol, and we completely blew that over. Like, he had just mentioned it, and then again, like 2 minutes later, we said, "Where'd all the ethanol go?" And I mentioned it in the blog post, but it's an example, and I made sure to do this time. I said, note to self, make sure that you listen to the voicemail in its entirety before you start recording.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I definitely failed. Well, so did Mark, but
yes, yeah, I failed. Sorry.
Both of us failed. Okay, so before we get to this episode, we actually have a little bit of feedback via Twitter about the last episode. So we'll play Simon and Rick twice.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, so we got some Twitter love from Ken from Chicago. Mark, why don't you read that off?
Sure. Will Michonne lead all the hashtag Walking Dead groups if she survives, since Maggie is leaving and Daryl is too hot-tempered? King Ezekiel is too quirky, and whomever is leading Oceanside is non-existent. Which, yeah, I don't think they actually have somebody that's in charge.
And, you know, if Rick dies, Michonne will avenge his death. I haven't used that one in a while, but of course, you know, she is what's her character's name in MCU? I know she's one of the security people
Black
Panther, but
yes
I don't know her character's name.
I forget her name.
Yeah,
unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry, I should know this. I am doing Marvel stuff, and
yeah, true.
Maybe Okoye. I don't know.
Yeah, Yeah. All right. He's got a couple more, actually. And he actually put a link to a video, which is if The Walking Dead has lyrics. So I will, you can actually see that if you look up our Walking Dead GSM mentions, but I will post that video on the Facebook group. But he also left a weird GIF on there that I didn't understand. And it says, "It's raining men," which, you know, somewhere.
It's all the Zeds falling on Daryl and Rick.
Oh, that's what he
it's
was
raining
about.
Men. Okay. They're all falling.
Okay. Down. Well, yeah. I guess technically that should be in the main part, but I guess we spoke too soon. And one other thing he says, oh, why don't you read that one?
Xander Berkeley shows up on Supergirl, poisoning the minds of its supporting characters, hashtag deja vu. And I actually saw that episode, and he was actually typical Xander Berkeley character form, being maniacal and distant and not happy. So, I don't know.
It seems like he plays a lot of those characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I guess he's not worried about being stereotyped because he seems to be very good playing those characters and plays them a lot. Okay, so now for this week's episode, we'll be covering Season 9, Episode 4, which is titled The Obliged. I told you that I would look up this person. It is written by Geraldine Inoue, and I think that's how her name's pronounced. I did not hear it actually pronounced anywhere, but she is listed as a staff writer. She's new this season to the show. And I was kind of surprised, but this appears to be, according to IMDb, her first writing credit anywhere. There are no TV, film, or shorts listed for her on IMDb. So with that said, now it also says that she has written a play called Scraps. And as a playwright, she is an alumnus of the Public Theater's Emerging Writers Group and was the inaugural recipient of the Shonda Rhimes Unsung Voices Playwriting Commission. So I guess, you know, she may be a new writer, but she's obviously been recognized for her talent. And I would also say that, you know, given the fact that this is her first writing credit, she did a really fine job. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It was very good. It was very well written.
I thought so, too. It was directed by a very veteran director from some film, but mostly TV, Rosemary Rodriguez. And this is her third credit on The Walking Dead. She previously directed Season 7, Episode 7, which was Sing Me a Song. That was the Negan eating spaghetti episode.
And with Carl at that point, too.
With Carl, yes.
And him having to sing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was also, yeah, that's right. Him making him take the eye patch off. And also, she directed Season 8, Episode 2, which is titled The Damned. And, of course, that was the big, I think that was the episode where we see Morales again.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the aftermath of Negan.
Right. Things she's known for are many shows, but I'll highlight a few of them. Rise, Jessica Jones. So she may have directed shows that you've already talked about on your show.
Yeah, definitely on panels.
Yeah. Sneaky Pete. She did 18 episodes directed of The Good Wife. That's probably where she knows Jeffrey Dean Morgan from. Law and Order SVU, Empire, and many, many other shows. And she wrote and directed film starring George Hamilton and, you know, several other, you know, senior stars. Silver Skies. I don't really know too much about that movie, but she was the director of it.
Wow.
And writer. So, anyway,
cool.
What did you think of The Obliged?
Well, I gave it 9.5 out of 10 rebars to Rick's right side.
Well, I didn't think it was as good as last week, but I thought it was still in the same ballpark. So I gave it a 9.25. Expletives partially bleeped. And if you don't know what I mean, this is what I mean.
I mean, your ass wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for Glenn. You wouldn't have found Lori. You wouldn't have found Carl. And you sure as wouldn't have found any of us.
Now, it wasn't bleeped. Although, if you looked at the captions, it said no audio. And I'll have to...
Yeah, I brought that up that night.
I'll have to listen to it to see if we have to actually bleep it for this. But it's like he hits something to cause that like popping noise in the sea. Like, I recognize exactly what he said, but at the same time, I was like, did he just say what he said? And sure enough, he did.
He censored himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't hear them actually on Talking Dead even mention it. So I was kind of surprised. I don't think they did. I don't remember them doing it. And I didn't watch Talking Dead, which is something they upload on YouTube.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it, so I don't know if they mentioned it there. But I also would give it 9.25 City Leader Warriors for Michonne, because she was kind of the duality of dealing with leading and getting out there and killing. So anyway, I wasn't surprised to see her do that either. All right. We've got some other listener ratings. Why don't you read the first one?
Well, Steve says he gives it 8.5 out of 10 crows eating a quarter of the tomatoes.
I do not know who this is, Glynis, so I'm probably going to get it wrong in pronouncing. Avicii. Okay. It's an Avicii song. She said 9 out of 10. Hey, brother. I know she's referring to Rick calling Daryl brother again. So
yeah. Dieta gives it 9 out of 10. Evel Knievel motorcycle wheels. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Because he did a wheelie, and apparently he wasn't supposed to do a wheelie, but he actually got the front tire up, and they mentioned it on Talking Dead. He's like, hey, I did a wheelie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! What you got?
Well, Glenna states, Rick and Daryl talking it out, eventually in reaching an understanding / common ground of sorts and helping each other out. This is long overdue.
Yeah, although it came with some pain and suffering.
Oh, yeah.
Steve says Rick and Daryl fighting together and working together. So very similar.
Dieta says, Carol, Carol!
It's funny how they keep underestimating Carol. Jed even got bested by Carol, and he still underestimates her. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have for Awesome Sauce?
Well, I have to go back, and it's, you know, my feeling is Rick calling out to Daryl saying, take my hand, brother. Something that brings me back to when Daryl was stuck in the ditch looking for Sophia way back when he got thrown off a horse, coincidentally. But it was Merle there and not helping him, even though Merle was a figment of Daryl's imagination. Because he, you know, this is real now, and Daryl knows that Rick is there for him. It brought a smile to to my face to actually see this happening. You know, we actually get to see some sort of real Rick saying, hey, take my hand. I'm your brother. And it's pretty much almost what he wanted to say and what he was actually saying to Shane way back when too. Brother, don't do this. And, you know, it's kind of that camaraderie.
Yeah.
And it, we're going back, and I'm talking way back in seasons when they're bringing all these things back with these words. And it just rang through within this episode. And it got the feels for me.
Yeah, there were a lot of callbacks this episode. But it's funny that Michael Rooker was on Talking Dead this week. Did you notice his hair is like way different? It's like really bushy in the back.
You sure that wasn't a wig?
No, maybe it was a wig. Maybe it was a wig. But
it's Rooker. We don't know.
I'm used to seeing him with really short hair, but
yeah, he's always shaved his head from what I know.
He was at Walker Stalker too, wasn't he? But
yes,
but just the first day or the first 2 days, he obviously wasn't there on Sunday. Did you see him?
I passed by and he had a shaved head.
Okay, so it was a wig. That's funny.
Gotta love Michael. He's funny.
Yeah. Like a Halloween thing, maybe? I don't know.
Probably, knowing him, but yeah, that I think that was taped, that actual Talking Dead episode.
Oh, so. I don't think it was, actually, because they had the polls going.
Huh.
Yeah, they had the polls going.
All right.
So
then I'm wrong. I assume that, you know, he was not there and they had done this previously. This is interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I think he didn't stay on Sunday at Walker Stalker. So I think he just like either just did Friday or Friday and Saturday and, you know, came to LA to do Talking Dead. I would really love it if Angela Kang started doing the cons.
Same here.
That would be fantastic. Like I was really surprised to see Yvette Nicole Brown was at the con. In fact, friend of the show, Lizzie, actually interviewed her.
Oh, really?
Did her panel, or it was a mini panel or something. I don't know. It was short, but if you go on Brains Gone Bad Facebook page, there's a video of it.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
I'll continue. The musical montage in the beginning with Michonne and her killing the walkers at night and going about her business as usual. This just reminded me of Sasha and what she was doing to keep herself, quote-unquote, okay. Michonne is still working stuff and things, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, Sasha was actually on my mind quite a bit this week. One of the ways I coped not going to Walker Stalker Con was by watching Star Trek Discovery a lot. So Sasha, who, you know, she of course plays Michael Burnham.
Yeah.
Sinequa Martin Green, I saw her a lot and made me think a lot of Sasha's character. Because I believe at one point Daryl mentioned Sasha.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, Abraham and Glenn and all that. So, all right, what else you got?
Rick and Eugene's talk in the beginning. It shows that Rick still needs and appreciates Eugene regardless of what had happened during the war. When Eugene was with Negan? Yeah. You know, his redemption in just the scene and Rick's acceptance of Eugene and what he does. Just, you know, Eugene being who he is. It doesn't have to be perfect, but Eugene's wanting to be helpful is what really is, you know, is what matters at most.
Yeah, and it was implied. I wouldn't say that it was actually stated, but it seemed implied that he designed the bridge. Would you?
Yeah, I would concur with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it was good to see that. And Eugene, he is very self-centered at times, but if push comes to shove, he will kind of do the good thing. And I agree with you. I think that was really good, both for Eugene and just for moving forward. So,
yeah.
Well, my awesome sauce, I identified two on the page and one that I didn't identify. So I'll say the one I didn't identify. I like the exchanges between Michonne and Negan. I thought that it was really good. I think there was some really fine acting from JDM and from Denai Gura in that. And I like how it ended, although it ended in a very weird bit, which we'll get to later on. But yeah, so I really enjoyed that. So I'll give that an awesome sauce. Callbacks. This episode had some unexpected ones, I thought. And I played the one thing about Darryl mentioning that he wouldn't have been alive had he not had it not been for Glenn, and he wouldn't have found Lori or Carl. But just the mentions of other things. And of course, Rick being thrown off the horse, much like he was in the pilot episode.
Yeah.
They were surrounded and the horse, you know, went cuckoo. I don't think it was a white horse. That's different, but it was similar in form and function. Though
Rick doesn't have good, you know, rapport with horses. Apparently, you know, he gets thrown off all the time, or he doesn't know how to work them well.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't help that, you know, he got dumped under rebar, which I'll talk about that in a minute. But the last thing, of course, and you mentioned it as well, is Rick calling Daryl brother again. I thought that was good. And the last thing I would say, just overall, that Daryl is finally the character he should have been all this time. So no more grunting. He actually has found a voice. I still don't understand how Gimple was writing for Daryl. It's like, why did he become monosyllabic? I don't understand it. And as you can see, now that he's being given a voice, he's a fully drawn character again. I don't know if it was them realizing, you know, with Andrew Lincoln leaving, that they had to bring Daryl to the forefront, but I don't understand how they wrote his character before. And this, to me, is the Daryl that we should have had for several seasons now. So,
yeah, I think it was the writers, and they just didn't know where to place him.
I'd say it's Gimple. He was Gimpled.
Gimplegate.
All right, now for the week variety.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, Steve says, Rick and Daryl falling into a hole in the middle of the forest right where they pull over, which is kind of weird, you know.
Yeah, I thought that it just, you know, figure it's like the one place that he had to go, and he picks a place where there's a hole. You know, more on the sinkhole in a minute here. But Glynis says, not a plot writing weakness, but Daryl is again to blame. Like Glenn's death, Daryl taking Rick the wrong way away from Alexandria, Daryl is responsible for Rick ending up on the rebar. Glynis, I have to say, I had not thought of that until I read this. And after I read this, I have to say, I believe you are correct. I think it is his fault. And I wonder what kind of guilt he's going to happen or have. Because, well, we don't know, but I have to think that the end of Rick is, it is nigh. And I think that's how he ends up getting off the show, is he's going to die next episode.
And no!
I don't believe me.
No!
I don't even want to laugh about that. I'll talk about that in the sad sauce, but...
That's a nervous laugh that I had.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got to agree with you, Glennis. I think he is responsible because had that not happened, Rick wouldn't have fallen off the horse. But I have to blame the horse as well, which I'll do in a second.
The horse with no name?
Yeah, went to the desert. Okay, next.
Dieta says, Michonne making Negan eat by talking to him let smiley face square frowny face let him die already. Negan gotta go. Smiley face.
Yeah, I think that was what I'm seeing is a raised eyebrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got for week?
That gosh golly gee darn it horse that Rick was on. Rick still hasn't learned since season one that the horses he rides are skittish with the Zeds about. What is going on? Doesn't he know?
Yeah, and to that end, I'll give my weak sauce that goes with this one right now. That horse, I agree, weak. You had one thing to do. All you had to do was get Rick away from there. And even like when you make him fall off, all you had to do was have him drop on a regular concrete.
And you blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You had it all and you blew it.
Stupid horse. I blame that on you, horse. So... So, yeah, ultimately, I guess, you know, if you have to assign blame, yes, I would assign some of that to Daryl, but I kind of blame that horse, man. Of all the places to fall off the horse, pretty bad. And I said, as a weak sauce, that we may ultimately see Rick die because of getting thrown off of a horse. It's like this warrior, of all the things to die from... It's kind of funny because the callback, it was like almost textbook, same kind of angles and everything that he gets fallen off the horse and he didn't die from it in the pilot, but you know, unless there's some miracle, it looks like he's going to ultimately, I will say that I don't think that he will die that way.
No,
but he will not literally die of it, but that will be the indirect. Not what am I trying to say? He's not going to die on that rebar, is what I'm trying to say, but he will die as a result
of his wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sinkhole, couple things with that. It was too perfect, that hole. It was too well suited or well designed to climb out of. It didn't look fake until they started climbing, I guess. So that was the thing. And to that, I will bring up two additional points. Are we supposed to believe that no walkers had fallen into that sinkhole until, like, after the shots are fired? Like, seriously? That makes no sense. And one thing that I'll credit post-show recaps for bringing this up because I didn't think of it myself, but no water in the sinkhole either. Like it was bone dry. Like either that sinkhole had literally just happened like hours ago, or that's certainly a weird sinkhole.
They want us to suspend our disbelief at that point. But yeah. Also we've had that before because didn't the governor actually have sinkholes specifically for walkers at one point?
Well, they weren't sinkholes. They were holes. But they were
that they created.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a way for them to get out at one point.
Yeah. But the point being that was not a man-made sinkhole. That was that appeared to be a natural sinkhole. So,
all right,
yeah, I have to give a weak sauce to that kid. Man, I hate that kid. It's a hate sauce, weak sauce. Rachel, for, you know,
not as sending usual, off that information to Maggie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That kid is annoying. Last thing I will give a weak sauce to, it was something that I had to add right at the last minute. I was trying to do a rewatch from the browser, and AMC Premiere is not recognized on a web browser. So even though I pay for AMC Premiere, I had to wade through the commercials. Very, very weak, AMC. All right. Sad sauce. Glynnis says, Rick helping Daryl out of the pit and calling him brother. The callback to season 4, episode 16, titled A. Coincidence with all the A's and B's floating around lately. I hadn't thought of that. With Joe and the Claimers, where he told Daryl he is his brother. I definitely remember that vividly. One of my favorite episodes. And the other callback to Merle and Daryl in season 2. Episode 5, Chupacabra, where Merle's vision helped Daryl get to the top of the embankment. I hadn't thought of that either until I read this, and you mentioned it earlier as well. The night of TWD on his white horse. And lastly, Daryl's parting shot of telling Rick to stay safe. Yeah, and I think Steve mentions that in his voicemail as well. All right, sad sauce for you?
Well, that would be Rick at the end falling on the rebar from when the horse threw him off. His journey to get back to the communities, mostly Alexandria for Michonne and Judith, it's going to be tough the next episode to see Rick going through visions on his journey back and what is to become his departure from the show. We're going to have a lot of sad sauce next week, unfortunately.
We may end up having a sad sauce episode.
It's going to be a sad sauce episode completely.
I don't know how we'll cover it. I mean, a lot of that will depend on how the feedback comes in. But, you know, I think we'll definitely get a lot of feedback in next week. But you never know. Well, my sad sauce is related to that. I really don't want the next episode to come. I don't know how I feel right now. I found myself avoiding doing the final rewatch to like put most of my notes in, because I don't think I'm dealing with the fact that next week we'll be talking about Rick probably dying, but definitely leaving the show. And, you know, I mentioned last week, this is my favorite character, possibly of any show. And I don't want to see him go. I understand why he's going. That doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. It's going to be sad. I don't know how ratings are going to, you know, are they going to like completely tank? Well, I hope that the episode is so amazing that people are gripped and they continue to watch, but I don't know. I mean, we might have another like steep drop down again, like we did when Carl died.
Yeah.
And I also have to say, if this next episode turns out like another version of how Tyrese died, with all the visions, people speaking to him, I know that we're going to get some of that, but if it ends up like with him dying on that concrete, I will not be happy.
I think it's going to be long and drawn.
Yeah, Mark, you were going to say something here, but I think we should wait and say it at the end.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, what sauce?
What?
We didn't get any what sauce from our listeners this time, but Mark, I see you have one.
Yeah, what is with Negan and not getting his story in a standalone episode? He states what took his wife's life. Yes, I know the backstory from the comic book, but we need his standalone episode to reveal what made him who he is now. We only got a glimpse of that when he was talking to Michonne. That was it.
Yeah, I still wonder if maybe we're going to get that in, like, whatever this next thing is going to be, if they end up doing a Negan, you know, limited series or something like that.
Yeah, they could do a This Is Negan movie or
yeah.
a TV movie or something yeah. like that. Who knows?
I don't know. Speaking of Negan, he has a very disturbing fixation on Lucille. I mean, he got really upset.
Yes.
Really upset. And I mean, this is a baseball bat.
Well, this is where the story comes in.
Right, right.
Yeah, but the thing is that you see this in the comic books, and those of you who don't read the comics, go out and buy This Is Negan. So I think you guys would, you know, you don't even have to read the whole comic book series, but you could just get that one, you know, trade paperback or whatever from Skybound, and it will give you an idea of Negan. And I think it fits in with the actual TV show.
Yeah. So let me ask you, do you think that he's right that Negan and Michonne are the same?
No.
I don't either.
No.
Do you think that they actually did just leave the bat out there, or do they have it? Like, was Michonne just playing him?
I think Michonne was playing him, and they do have the bat somewhere.
I wonder where. To me, it would be the ultimate if they just burned it or disposed of it, because, like, for him never to get that bat, I think that would kind of...
Well, it's really crazy. Dependent on his character and where it stands in the actual show.
Yeah.
So if they dispatch Negan and get rid of him completely, because for the comic book, after a while, he has an encounter, and this is spoilers, so you guys could skip ahead, and you know, this is anything that's regarding the show in any way. So basically, he has an encounter with Maggie. And Lucille has been destroyed. It broke.
Oh.
And she actually confronts Negan, and this is what happens. So he just winds up wandering off, and nobody ever sees him ever again. After that, he was, like, destroyed because he was looking for remorse, but he couldn't get that from Maggie. And it was a really good issue of the comic. It showed him very sympathetic and showing him very, very weak. Huh. So it was a very good issue. I recommend everybody to read it.
That must be a fairly, like, recent issue.
About, I would say, good 9 issues back.
Yeah. Huh. One other thing I would say, and this is almost an errata, correcting myself. I said, you know, Ann Jadis, I called her Jan last week, but then I started thinking about it, especially after this week and the kind of thing that she did with the stupid, and you know, what is her fascination with making these Rube Goldberg Walker contraptions? I don't get that. But of course, when you combine Anne and Jadis, what do you really get? You don't get Jan. You get Anus. I had to go with it, man. I guess maybe it would be Adis, but it's Adis. Infantile humor. All right. Well, let's go on to our regular feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And I promise you, Steve, I did listen actually a couple of times to your feedback. Did you get a chance to listen to it, Mark?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so if he gets something wrong, it's his fault because he only listened to it this one time.
Yeah, we'll reprimand him next week.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Steve, here is your voicemail.
Hey, Brian and guys at Walking Dead Talkthrough. This is Steve. And a few notes on The Obliged. I like that Sanctuary is going to have to stand on its own. I thought that was really a good way to put that. And we haven't seen the kingdom in a while, have we? Or did I miss something? I don't think we've ever had like an actual like scene in the kingdom. Negan should die. I took points off in my rating for that whole scene, those scenes with him and Michonne, as well acted as they were and as great as those actors are. I'm done with him. I absolutely loved, even though it was corny. I loved the Rick and Daryl brother, that brother moment where Rick said, "Grab my hand, brother." I really like that, a lot. I want to know what happened at the camp with, you know, after, because we get this horse that escapes and we get the shooting that happens. And, but the bad thing is, I think we're not going to find out what happened at the camp until another episode goes by. Because I think this next episode is going to be all Rick. Now, I'd be pleasantly surprised if it wasn't. And I'll share my thoughts next week with you guys. Looking forward to that. Talk to you then.
All right. What'd you think?
Well, I do agree with him. It's definitely going to be a whole Rick episode in some way. And I have a funny feeling there's going to be some sort of time jump after said departure.
I don't know if it's going to be a whole thing, though, because we've got several different plot points in play. And one thing I did see a sneak peek of next week, and there was a scene with Michonne and Maggie. So to me, that means it's not a whole Rick episode. So, yeah. And, you know, that I don't think that's a spoiler, but I will agree with you, Steve. We haven't seen the kingdom. I wonder if Tyler Perry's studio has been available. Because, of course, I know that the kingdom is shot at Tyler Perry's studio. So I wonder if it's just not available, and that's why we haven't seen it. I imagine that we will, but it definitely has not been seen at all. And in fact, Kari Payton hasn't been in the last couple of episodes either. Negan must die, you say. Now, I mentioned this in my notes later, but I'll bring this up now. I wonder what that confrontation is going to be like next week, because like I said, not a big spoiler, but a little spoiler to say, I know that there should be a Maggie Negan scene next week, because we do see her making it to Alexandria. So I really wonder how that's going to play out. Like, is it going to be that she will not kill him because he is like, and also there were several podcasts that I listened to that didn't understand what Maggie's intention there was, but I think it's pretty obvious from my take, and let's see if you agree. She's going there to kill him. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
I mean, she's not going there to talk to him. She's going there to kill him. That's why she needed the crowbar, and that's why she said to Jesus to do it like they said before, you know? So I think that that's what's going on there, but I don't think she'll end up killing Negan. I mean, I think it would be a big story departure there, and maybe he will get away. And I have a feeling that fixation on Lucille, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes crazy. And she'll probably see him that way, and she'll feel sorry for him, or he'll beg for forgiveness or something. I don't know. But I don't think she'll end up killing him. And I think that I'm looking forward to that scene, whether it's next week or following. Maybe it would be smart for them not to do it next week.
Or just do a time jump and just have that scene there and not knowing the outcome until the next episode.
Yeah, maybe. That's the one thing. That's all I had for your feedback. But I do agree about Negan. And I wonder if Rick finally realized it himself that Negan should die. I mean, that was one thing that I liked about that, the scene with Daryl, because he really seemed to make the plea to me convincing. I mean, I don't know. I always thought that Negan should die, and it was kind of a contrivance to keep him alive, but maybe he will die. I don't know. That would be kind of surprising. Wouldn't it be funny if Rick was, you know, we think Rick's going to die and Negan dies instead, or Negan dies too. That would be a big episode for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Todd has some feedback. Mark, why don't you read it?
So I had a quick thought when Negan was talking to Michonne about what happened to his wife. What always used to happen, cancer. So are we supposed to suppose cancer doesn't happen anymore in the zombie apocalypse? Perhaps a hint at a cancer cure, cancer drug, being the cause of the zombies? Unforeseen side effects? Maybe I'm reaching. All in all, I really like Negan / Michonne stuff and the Rick / Daryl stuff in the pit. Them sort of hashing it out and coming to terms with each other. Rick being stubborn to the end is what ends up leading him to his end. If only he rode back with Daryl on the bike. I wonder if the horse's name was Carl. Stupid Carl! Grumpy face. Yeah, it's no. I don't think the horse was named Carl. Sorry.
Wasn't a cancer cure a factor in the Planet of the Apes? The recent Planet of the Apes.
Yes,
I thought so.
In the actual movies,
yeah. In the actual movies, like the recent movies, not the 68.
No, it was Alzheimer's.
Oh yeah. It was Alzheimer's. That's right. I was thinking it was cancer, but
I thought for a second when you mentioned that, and I was like, oh, wait, no, I remember it was Alzheimer's because you had John Lithgow and he was the father.
Maybe it was I Am Legend.
Possibly.
I remember some recent movie where it was a cancer cure that came in. I think that the reason why he says what used to always happen, I think people end up dying due to unforeseen circumstances. You know, what you would call that today, like accidental things or, you know, zombie bite. You know, I think that the like cancer is more, you know, takes a lot longer, right? So I think that's why we see that. And wasn't it, I think, in the same boat, which is what, season 6, episode 13, I think, that the one where they're in the slaughterhouse, that one character, that one savior, I think her name was Malls. Didn't she have, like, lung cancer or something?
Yes.
So I don't
She think- was still struggling with it.
Right. Right. So I don't think that it's a question of cancer going away. It's just that people die from many other things. So the percentage of people dying from cancer is minimal in the zombie apocalypse because they get killed by starvation or flu,
dysentery,
or zombie bite, or, you know, just otherwise other things that wouldn't normally kill you in the regular, you know, universe. So anyway, that's my take on it. All right. Next is Dieta. She says, love the wrestling scene with Rick and Daryl, of course. They didn't see this big ditch in the ground. There we go. Dieta, I think you should teach a course in emoji. If you do,
I need one.
I will take your course. I will pay for your training because you seem to get emojis, and I don't know, I'm much more of an animated GIF kind of guy, as Mark knows. Anyway, that is some weird frown thing with a one eye closed with a smirk, and then closed eyes and kind of a smile. A couple of those. I loved the one. I'm so inept when it comes to emoji, I tell you.
Same here. I'm like, I don't know exactly what's going on.
Dieta, teach us. We need your training. Anyway, I love the walkers falling into the pit as they were trying to crawl out. Daryl and Rick have it out about Negan and Carl's wishes, and Daryl finally says it. He has to let Carl go. Then she says, so long, saviors. Hopefully they are done after the camp shootout. Janus must have caught that next flight out of garbage land.
I don't think so.
With shoulders and they come out as stick figures. I don't know if that's actually what she's intending, but I see like a stick figure person. But shoulder shrug or something like that, or arms raised. I don't know. Anyway, training. Need it.
It looks like demon female emoji, demon female emoji. I don't know.
She left Gabriel high and dry. I guess we will never find out if he was an A or a B. And again, big smiley face with eyes closed. Loved the walker in the face scene. That was almost a kiss of death for Gabriel. Then she says, no, Rick, don't do it. Next week is this last episode. Big tears. Followed by four tearing emojis. I'm right there with you, Dieta. I'm not ready to say goodbye, she says, and I agree. Sunday is going to be so hard. With a couple more teary faces. I've been a fan since the beginning. It's always sad to see your faves go. Anyways, good episode. Looking forward to what's to come for the group and the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be the crying dead this weekend.
It's strange. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I want to see what happens, but yeah. I really don't want to see what happens because I really want to see a Rick Grimes movie in some way. Oh. And hopefully Andrew Lincoln can do that. But what would it be? You know, are they going to do something like Deadwood where they end it off some way, or do they do an in-between? Garrett Dillahunt kind of talked about that this weekend to me and saying that the Deadwood movie is in production and we're going to be happy to see it. So I'm hoping that something comes about with Andrew and he does what he states, saying that he's not finished with Rick Grimes.
Well, you know, maybe Garrett Dillahunt will find Kim Dickens and bring her back to Fear the Walking Dead. I have to hear more about your interactions with the cast and crew there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that near the end of the episode.
Awesome.
All right. So that's it for Dieta's feedback. And of course, and I didn't give one to Steve, but of course, both of you. enough with that. Let's keep moving on. But anyway, great feedback. Thank you so much. Glynis is next.
Yeah, Glynis says, wondering what went down with the clash between Carol and company and the Saviors. Enjoyed Carol showing Jed who's boss when he underestimated her to his detriment, you know. So Maggie and Michonne confrontation coming up and ... So I'm wondering, I'm curious about that too. You know, they had a couple of talks regarding that, about what's going on with the communities. So who knows what that will bring. Rick, please don't go. Frowny face, frowny face. Just wondering if it's the rebar that'll do in Rick, or will it be another final kill shot / blow that will end Rick? We'll have to stock up on tissues for season 9, episode 5. It's going to be hell. Hell, hell, hell.
Yeah, I know what there was a rumor about this and how that's going to go down, but I don't know if that was true or not. But whether Rick and Maggie will see each other again this episode, I don't know. But I really hope that it's not all just a fantasy thing and Rick sees all these people. He can see the people. I just don't want him ending that way. I think that would be a sad ending for a great character. I would rather him see those people in flashback, you know, than kind of fantasy thing. But we'll see. I know that we're going to see probably the last appearance of Scott Wilson, because that's been brought up. So, all right, Mark, what do you have for other notes?
Well, I honestly don't want to see Rick die on the show. I want there to be some sort of way for him to return. I'm holding on, just like everybody else. But it will be a blubber fest for me if this happens. I just want Rick to stay in some way, shape, or form, or if not, be able to come back.
Goes away on the helicopter?
Yeah, you know, with Schwarzenegger going, get to the chopper!
You have to say that.
Of course.
Get to the chopper!
Yes, get to the chopper. All right. My first thing, I don't get the title. What's the obliged? I don't remember hearing obliged anywhere during the episode. Did you?
No, I did not. And I'm still confused.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the episodes, you know, we'll hear something or, you know, like last week, warning signs. That was pretty obvious what it was. But this one, I was like, the obliged, what is that? Obliged what? Who's obliged? So I didn't get that one. Was the lynched walker one of the saviors lynched by the Oceansiders, or was that just another walker or someone who tried to kill himself?
What? I think there was somebody older that they just took out.
Yeah. They made it look like Negan's bat. I thought at first that it was Negan's bat until, like, wait a second. Because it was weird. It's like they made it even look like the way the blood and the
splashed on it. Yeah.
Yeah. The, what do you call it? The
Louisville Slugger sign wasn't on it.
Ah, that's okay. They had the guts. I can't think of the word. There's a specific word I'm thinking of, but I can't think of the word, of remains. And it kind of looked, it was banding, almost like it was, you know, wire, but obviously it wasn't.
It wasn't. Definitely wasn't.
I thought that that must be Tybalt and Cordelia merging at the end. Had to think, is this the last scene that we get to see with Rick and Carol? Tend to think it is. Carol says that they don't want Negan, but also don't want them. So I wonder, you know, next episode, are we going to find out that they perish? Like the ones that are at the bridge. Are they dead at the end of this, or do they end up surviving? And if they do survive, as what? I mentioned Geraldine Inua. I know that it wasn't her, but the character of Nora, that actress looks a little bit like the writer. Michonne and Negan, I mentioned that before. Grateful that Andre's gone because he would have made her weak. I don't know. That's certainly something that she didn't want to hear, but I wonder if it's true. I don't know. There's a clip that I wanted to play of Rick and Daryl that we hadn't played yet, so, but we had kind of mentioned it. I'll play it now.
Carl died for nothing.
What about the rest of us? You don't think after all the shit we've been through, we couldn't handle it? And you keep asking us to have faith in all these other people. Truth is, you don't have enough faith in us.
You know that's not true.
I'd die for you. And I would have died for Carl. You know that. But you gotta hear me. You're chasing something for him that ain't meant to be, man. Just gotta let him go. Let him go.
Let him go. I never asked anyone to follow me.
I know. Maybe you should have.
Yeah, so I thought that was really good interchange there, and is an example of why his character has greatly improved under Angela Kang. Some of what we talked about, I think I've already said in my notes about Anne/Jadis/Gabriel, but do you think she's with the helicopter people now, or is she still around?
I think she is still around, and she's trying to get that flight to get out of where she is.
Yeah.
But she still has to provide an A, and which leads me to believe that possibly with Rick, that's her way out, and she rides with him. I don't know. It's kind of questionable.
It certainly is questionable.
I don't think it's, I don't think it's Seth Gilliam. I don't think it's Father Gabriel, because we do see him in previews with a goatee, and he's interrogating people of, like, when they come to, whether it be Alexandria or wherever it is.
Yeah.
So
why does Gabriel cry?
Because he really loved Anne.
Yeah. I wonder if he's heartbroken or... That
betrayed.
That was my take, that, you know, he loved her and he feels betrayed, heartbroken, and whatnot. We got very little explanation this week of the AB stuff. Do you think we'll get an explanation this week, this coming episode?
I'm hoping so.
I don't know if we will. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't address that storyline at all. I mean, obviously, if Jadis is involved with, if Rick ends up flying away with the helicopter, then she will be involved. But if she's not involved, it wouldn't surprise me. I was surprised. I did take a look, and it's a little bit longer episode, but it's not a really long episode. It's certainly not an hour and a half. It's an hour and 8 minutes next week.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance, as far as I'm concerned, that they won't have her in the episode, but we'll see. You know, a couple little other things. Alden isn't as quick as Carol. Big shock. How did Jed figure out that it was Oceanside? What was it with that? I mean, like I said last week, makes perfect sense, you know, after the fact, after you kind of think about it, but I certainly didn't think of it at the time. A thought that I had for saving the bridge is maybe Rick, if he survives, maybe he somehow is able to dispatch Cordelia and Tybalt and ends up using them like sandbags and creates dead bags of dead to dam up the levee. That was a thought. And that would be pretty amazing, but I could also see him dying at the end. That is, I believe, all that has not been said. So let's move on to news, ratings, info, and con discussion.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. Well, ratings are slightly up. The Walking Dead got a 1.95 in the 18 to 49 with 5.095 million viewers. It's not up a lot, but it's up a little from last week's 1.93 and 5.037 million viewers. So at least for the short term, ratings have stabilized, I believe. Now, considering I think the Live Plus 3 and Live Plus 7 will be quite a bit higher. There was a big World Series game. You know, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series again this Sunday. So I know that a lot of people were watching that. So I imagine that ratings will go up quite a bit in the Live Plus 3 as they have been the last few weeks. I don't normally cover those, and I'm not going to cover them now. But I imagine next week will be higher. I don't know what to think about episode 6, though. We may see a bunch of people
spike
watch, or we may see it hit all new lows into the fours. We'll only find out when the time comes.
Yeah.
Talking Dead was down a little bit from last week. It got a 0.60 in the 18 to 49 with 1.822 million. And that's down from 0.64 in the 18 to 49 and 1.869 million viewers. So when we look at the charts that you can see on the Walking Dead Talk Through Facebook group, you will see ratings have certainly leveled off and viewers are slightly up a little bit. So it seems like the younger generation is staying away. That's why I guess 25 to 54, which unfortunately I have to include myself in that demographic now.
Well, same here.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm not in the 18 to 49 anymore.
Oh, same here. well, I'm, yeah, between 18 and 49, but, yeah. You know.
Yeah. There was a couple things I posted earlier today, things that came up in my alert emails. It was an article about TV salaries, and I don't know how factual this is, but it did list Norm Reedus getting $1 million per episode and how there were several other shows that have actors that are making more than that, which is not surprising. But I know compared to what he used to get on The Walking Dead, like I think he was getting like $80,000 an episode or something like that for the longest time. So it is quite a bit of a hike. But
I think it's not as much, but at least half.
Yeah. Okay. So the other bit of news is a new show by Skybound Entertainment was announced. I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but it's going to be on Nat Geo Wild, and I believe it's called Dead by Dawn, and it's like a horror reality kind of show, and I think it's kind of, you know, talking about like animals killing you and stuff. But
oh gee, thanks.
Yeah, but anyway, it's not a drama. It's more of a reality, you know, like the kind of shows that you see on Nat Geo and Nat Geo Wild and Discovery and Animal Planet, that kind of thing. But it's executive produced by Robert Kirkman and David Alpert, among a couple of other people from Skybound that's doing this. So interesting. I think it's their first foray into, you know, nonfiction and stuff. All right. Well, Mark, I know that you want to talk about your stuff from Walker Stalker Con, but I'm going to take the floor first.
You do it.
And I'm going to talk about something that I haven't been able to talk about for a few weeks, and that's because we keep going so long in the episodes, but I think we can fit this one in this time. I promised that I would do this. So about a month ago, a little more than a month ago now, I was at MegaCon Tampa Bay, and I was actually able to go there as press, and I just wanted to give my little report about that. The convention had Christian Serratos and Jeffrey Dean Morgan scheduled. Unfortunately, Christian Serratos canceled. I think it was just before the con. I'm not sure when, but I only found out about it like day before or something like that. And I think due to
contract,
just shooting schedule.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan was only there on Saturday. I don't believe they actually had a panel with him. I think he was just there doing photo ops and autographs. But I didn't get to see him, unfortunately. The convention itself, I thought it was, you know, well put together. It's one of those things. It's like, do I want to be honest or do I want to, you know, just like be a shill? I should be honest, I think. So because I know that they're listening. So one thing that when I got there, I found out like I had been trying to interview those two, but also some Star Trek people. And I found out at the con that no interviews were going to be taken. And I, especially since I had been in communication with the people that were managing that, the fact that I didn't hear about it until I got there, I was a little disappointed, to say the least. And the other thing, too, is there wasn't anything to tell me where the panels were. And I had been looking around for them while I was there, and I didn't find them until I left the first day. So I think that there should have been better signage to try to explain that. All the stuff in what I was handed, nothing told me where the panels were. So that also, I was a little disappointed, but with that, it was good exhibits. The way that they had the celebrities and, you know, cosplayers and all that, I thought that was well managed. They had great vendors. The venue was good. The one thing that I did do was I got a selfie with Marina Sirtis, who of course played Counselor Troi. and you know, I had met her a couple of times way back, but you know, it was anyway. So obviously a crush from, you know, my younger days. It was great. Yeah. So anyway, it was great to see her. I'd hoped to be able to interview her or at least get a shout out for the podcast, the other podcast to do, but that wasn't allowed either. So, so it was disappointing. And, you know, I mean, that's what I can say. The panels and that, I can't really say cause,
not too fantabulous.
No, I ended up, I wasn't able to attend on Saturday or Sunday. So the only day I went was Friday. And, you know, so there were some panels, like particularly the Star Trek ones, that I was going to go to. I ended up having to miss. So it kind of sucked. So anyway, I think the con was, you know, it was great. I'd love to go again. Orlando, that's the even bigger one for MegaCon. I'd like to go to that. But I will have more to say about it when I do my next Star Trek Discovery podcast. I'll talk more about Star Trek people. But so it wasn't everything that I had hoped. But I think that if you were considering going and, you know, you wanted to go to do a photo op or whatever, I think it was, it seems to be well managed and the venue was great. I thought vendors were really good. They had cool Walking Dead stuff. They had like an experience area, where you could like, you know, experience the zombies. It was, something I've seen at Walker Stalker Con Orlando, like an assault vehicle or whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
That was there. And they had the DeLorean, you know, from Back to the Future. They had, like, obviously not that one, but one that had been made up. And I think there was a Ghostbusters one. And, you know, so all of that was cool. And you could get photos taken with it. And I was hoping to get to do some interviews, but unfortunately they didn't pan out. But I thought that the convention was pretty fun. And hopefully I'll go again next year. And, you know, it would be nice if I could get to do a little interview or something, but it didn't work out. I'll just say that. And as far as the rest of it, I would recommend, certainly if you're in Orlando area, there's a big MegaCon that's even bigger. It's like one of the biggest conventions. I think it's around Memorial Day, I think. I'd have to look. But that one is definitely worth attending, from what I've heard. And I hope to go to that next year. And but as far as Tampa Bay, I will go back. I did enjoy it. I didn't get to spend as much time there as I had hoped. Just I had some stuff going on. I recommend it. So, all right. Well, now that I've talked about MegaCon, the one that we really want to talk about, and I have to say, I spent a lot of this weekend sulking, it's because Mark went to the big show. He went to Walker Stalker Con Atlanta. And I want to hear all the details without making everyone else throw tomatoes at you.
Wait, I need to eat tomatoes.
Yeah, they'll step on them. So anyway, so the first thing I want to ask you about, now, you actually stayed in an Airbnb with how many people?
14.
14 people. And these are all friends of ours from, we've talked about it several times, the Zedheads Facebook group, which is all around Patreon donators for Walking Dead cast and Podcastica. And, you know, we've made some really good friends. I really wanted to go, but it just didn't work out. So had some stuff going on here, but Mark, you got to go. Other than, you know, playing the real world or Big Brother for a long weekend, what was it like?
It was awesome. It was an awesome experience. I've been to many a Walker Stalker before, but there should be a little bit more organization with the panels and schedules. They cut the OG panel off for Sarah Wayne Calise, John Bernthal, all the old crew that was on the original first season. And that was due to scheduling. That was the only downer.
I heard that.
Yeah, it was a downer. But that was on Sunday. I guess there was conflicting schedules on flights and everything else, but that was the only big downer of it all. But there should be a little bit more organization, in my opinion. I enjoyed my time with all our friends from our Zedhead community, from Jason and Karen from the Walking Dead cast's Patreon page. They are amazing. Everybody had a great time. We were like a big family. I actually got to cosplay like Negan for the weekend. Actually, for one day, Saturday, I put on a Cobra Commander hood with the Cobra symbol on it, on, and I was wearing a leather jacket, and I had my Negan baseball bat, and I was walking around, and a few people took a few pictures of me walking around at the con with it, so it was pretty cool and awesome.
And I have to hand in my geek card, because I have no idea who the hell is Cobra Commander.
Yeah, it's from G.I. Joe. From the 80s.
I should know that then.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's bad.
So I did that for the fun part of it in the morning, and people took notice, and they said, that is so original, because everybody was doing Darth Vader with a bat with lights on it. And I just walked around with a Cobra Commander hood. So it was the cheapest cosplay I could ever do, and I had a great time doing it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, especially with the panel with Kristen, Hal, and Rima Joe. Kristen Hal does House Podcastica on the Podcastica website.
And she's been a guest on this show a few times.
And Rima Joe is on Strange Indeed. And they
Who's also been a guest on this
exactly. podcast. And they interviewed and paneled with Irony Singleton, and they were amazing. They were awesome. Gotta love the women of Podcastica.
Yeah, I didn't even know that they had done a panel. And in fact, I saw a picture of those two with him, and I'm like, what, did he have them come up on stage? I didn't even know that they had done a panel. So awesome to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kristen got to introduce the Boondock Saints, which was something that she was so nervous for, but she was great at doing, and introducing Sean Patrick Flannery and David Della Rocco. And it was amazing. And just watching Jason doing his panels with everybody, especially with the Fear cast, the Walking Dead cast, I had a great time. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I got to meet Colin McAuliffe, and I was able to get that nice, lovely intro we got. Got to meet Josh McDermott. And out of all the years that I've been going, I have not met Josh McDermott until this year. Of all things.
See, I saw that picture, but I didn't know that that was from this year. Hmm.
Yeah, I have several from that day, because he just took my phone and just went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just like Jason Mewes from Mallrats and Clerks, and just taking a ton of selfies of me and him, and it was pretty cool. He was a really awesome guy.
Yeah.
You know, the tour of Sonoya was awesome. Actually, you have to call it Sonoy. And we got to see where they shot everything within the town, and it's a filming community. So it's amazing to hear it from somebody who, our tour guide, who is amazing. She was not Maggie. She looks like Maggie, and she actually substituted for Maggie at some point too. So you gotta love her.
It's worth saying, like, this tour, that wasn't part of Walker Stalker Con, right? You did this.
No. Separate. We all did this as fun, just as separate. We got a bus ride from somebody who actually played a savior at the end of season 8. One of the guys who got their hand shot off or blown off from the guns. He said he was screenshot. He was there. There was another savior there that was in that same scene as well. And they were doing tours as well that day with him. And we got to see a lot of Sonoy. Saw all of Woodbury. Saw all of, not Alexandria. We only got to see the the front part of it, because apparently they tase you if you actually go in there, because it's a private community. So anybody looking to go into Sonoy and just go, oh, I'm going to go in and walk into Alexandria. No, do not do that, because it says no trespassing. Only people that are valid that live there, or people that actually shoot at the actual site, can actually go in. So it was amazing. I had a great experience. I loved going to the Waking Dead Cafe. I loved going to Nick and Norman's with our friends. Had a great time. Went to the Woodbury shop and went into the museum. I took a bunch of pictures, and it was amazing. I to me, this was part of my bucket list of things to do, and I finally got to do it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so expensive, but in the end, I'm glad I actually did it. It was one of the best things to actually do. And Brian, you were missed. I missed you. I know a bunch of other people that were there at the Airbnb missed you. We wanted you there.
Yeah.
Just to partake and just to be a part of it. You know, if you were there, it would be just you being you, hanging around, talking. We got to meet a bunch of people. We got to meet Allison Feike, meet Melissa Hutchison, a whole bunch of people. And
yeah,
you know, you were definitely missed.
Yeah. Allison, who, of course, has also been a guest on here, and I will say one of my best friends, and if she's listening, I probably just made her blush or cry knowing her. But, you know, I love you, Allison. So, but yeah, I mean that if I could say that's like the one thing, above all else, you know, that I regret, or, you know, not being able to go. I would have loved going to the convention, but not getting to see, all you guys, that was the sucky part, you know,
yeah.
But I don't know. Hopefully I'll be able to go next year. I know you guys are, I know you're planning to go to the New Jersey one, right?
Yeah, we're planning a get together. I did not know that Jason was doing a get together for New York, New Jersey. I plan on going. I have a bunch of people staying here. Steve is still contemplating to do it. But I definitely have Kat and Paik. A few other friends, and my niece is going to be coming with me, so she'll keep me in check and yell at me. And we're going to try to get John Bernthal to actually do something for my podcast for Pounds to Pixels. Hopefully we could do something for Golden Spiral Media as well. And I was looking to do, hopefully, I got certain buttons for certain guests, and they're very particular to their characters. And I got one for Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I got one for Lenny James. I got one for Josh McDermott. And they're all particular sayings from their characters that everybody knows. So I'm going to try to hand them out as gifts to them at this particular con in New York, New Jersey. So hopefully I'm able to get to Jeff, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So did you get to wear your John Dory fan club t-shirt to meet Garrett Dillahunt?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We all did. I did a selfie with him, got an autograph. He and I spoke, and Garrett actually spoke about, he goes, oh, well, we wrapped up the Deadwood movie, and he's doing another movie too as well at the same time for Netflix. So apparently that's going to come out soon. I really wanted to get to Kim Dickens' line. I really wanted to get to Coleman Domingo, but I was waiting on Melissa McBride for a long time and never got to get to her, unfortunately, because I was just VIP.
Yeah.
But, he loved everybody showing up with their unofficial John Dory t-shirts from our fan club. So he enjoyed it, and we got to do a big, huge selfie and have Lucy Hinney there in paper form saying, "We miss you, Lucy," and him and Garrett actually holding that. Jenna was actually amazing, and I got to talk to her for a bit.
Did you mention she had talked to me? Probably not, did you? You didn't. I knew it.
No. I actually told Jenna, thank you for our introduction for the Walking Dead talk through on Golden Spiral Media. And she goes, you're welcome. And that was at the photo op as I was leaving. And she was like, she probably was thinking, like, was that the same guy? But she was very, very nice. I actually had to ask her at the table. I was like, why don't you have any Krippendorf tribes, pictures around and stuff like that? She just looked at me. She goes, yeah, we don't have any. What's going on here? So she thought that was pretty funny. And we talked about her podcast, which I would recommend to everybody else, because her and her husband, she goes, we had a nice little conversation that day.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. It was fun just to meet everybody and talk to them casually. Colin McAuliffe was, of all things, the nicest person, and he didn't understand why people would pay for his autograph or just have a selfie.
Yeah. And he's a young guy, too, isn't he?
He is. And I really do believe he has some sort of Irish descent in him, because he's got a heavy brogue. And I think he has that coming. Even though he lives in Australia, I think he comes from a heavy Irish family.
Yeah. Well, McAuliffe, that's obviously Irish. But yeah, I looked him up after you had mentioned the Irish accent. And I guess like two of his grandparents are from Ireland. So I guess the accent is strong with him. Because yeah, I heard him like, what? He sounds Irish there.
He's amazing. He's a nice guy. You gotta love him. And he was great on the panels, and he basically stated the same thing he said to me. He goes, I don't know why people are here to buy my autograph. And I said to him, I said, I think good things are to come for your character, and you're gonna be here for a while. And I said, just embrace it, and we love you, man. And he goes, oh man, thank you. So he was awesome.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to mention about it?
No, that was pretty much it.
All right. Yeah. Hopefully one of these, Walkstalker cons, both of us will get to go, and maybe Kyle. I know that there's one in Chicago. I think that one's still going to happen. Of course, Kyle is in Chicago, so that's why I mentioned that. And of course, the funny thing is that they announced the Walker Stalker Con Cleveland after I left Cleveland. But I still may go, and hopefully I'll get to make Atlanta, but I'm going to have to save up. So, but I got a year. So after I get my computer, which you guys, I have to switch to a different microphone just to mask how loud this computer is. So if you notice, I sound different the last couple of weeks, it's because I switched to a really cheap microphone that, because it's so cheap, it doesn't pick up all the noise from the fan. But, I the computer is on its last legs. So, I have to replace the computer. So after I get the computer, then I'll get to save up for the next Walker Stalker Con. But anyway, that's it. So why don't you tell people how to interact with us and support the podcast and the network?
Oh, definitely. We definitely want you to follow us on Twitter. Please, please, please follow us on Twitter at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your feedback and theories, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, which is also a great way to get in touch with us, which is WalkingDeadGSM@gmail.com.
Yeah, and it's worth saying, too, that's a great way to send us a voicemail. So you know, record something on your phone, save it, and just send us an email with that as an attachment. And that works great. That's how we've been getting our feedback from Steve.
Yeah. Steve knows how to work it. So if you have any questions, contact Steve. We love Steve. So,
and Steve will be on the podcast next week.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. He has confirmed that he will be with us next week. So
awesome. So you have two panels to pixels people on a Walking Dead talk through.
It's going to be like two worlds collide. Two worlds collide, Jerry. Two worlds collide. It's a Seinfeld episode if you don't get the reference. I know you do, Mark, but
I do.
Other listeners may not. All right, continue.
The feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functioning again. So everybody go there. So you can send a text or audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget. Or call us at 304-837-2278. The deadline for the next episode is Tuesday, November 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern or 5 p.m. Central.
And I want to encourage people to get your feedback in as soon as you can, because we will probably have a lot of feedback next week. And it's always easier to collect all the feedback if it comes in a little bit at a time and not in one big chunk. So, as soon as you have feedback, send it. You can always edit it later, but send us something. Just don't wait till last minute, okay? That's all I got to say. All right.
The best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. While you're there, give us a rating or a review. Come on, man. Give us a rating. We want it. Find out all the other ways to support GSM at https://goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
The Star Trek Discovery podcast, we are going to record something before Thanksgiving, next two or three weeks. I finally did try to work out a schedule with Ruthie, so she hasn't seen the first short trek, so we're going to cover that short trek. There's another short trek coming out next week, so it'll be like two shorts that we cover. Also, we'll cover some of the news within Star Trek. There, I don't know, Mark, I assume you heard that they have announced Star Trek Lower Decks, which is an animated comedy show. And it's the creator is Mike McMahon, who is one of the head writers from Rick and Morty. And he is the guy behind the 8-season Next Generation Twitter account, which a while back made up all these goofy episodes. There was a bunch of goofy lines with the Next Gen characters, made it sound like an episode. And it was so funny that he actually made a book about it, that it got expanded. I think it's called Warped, the Unseen 8th Season of Next Gen or something like that. Anyway, he's the guy behind it, and supposedly it is on a ship of no consequence. So it's not the Enterprise, it's some like crappier ship, and it's like a guy who makes the banana yellow in the replicator or something like that. some minor people featured on the show. At least that's what I've heard, but I don't know if it's going to be in the format of Rick and Morty or Futurama or, you know, or even something like the Orville. I think it's probably going to be more like Futurama than anything else. But I don't know. There's very little detail about it, but we'll talk more about it when we finally have an episode. So what's going on with Panels to Pixels?
You should have everything uploaded by the end of the week. Everybody who wants to keep up with me and Steve Brown, you can actually catch up on Panels to Pixels. we'll have all Luke Cage, all Jessica Jones, all Punisher. I give it another week and a half until Steve and I are current, and we will have something new and fun to talk about, because there's a lot going on in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, including Iron Fist and Luke Cage were canceled recently.
Yes.
Do you think they're going to come back on the Disney Network or whatever? The pay, not the network, but the streaming?
The app. Yeah. I have a funny feeling they're actually going to combine the two and just make it for Heroes for Hire and just put Luke Cage and Iron Fist together and then have their own little series. And if they keep the same actors, that would be great. I don't think badly of both actors. I think they did portray them very well. I just think that the Iron Fist character was poorly written and his dialogue. The Luke Cage character was perfect, but whether or not Disney goes on with something a little bit more extreme, like what Netflix was doing, I do not know.
I was shocked when I found out that that is the same guy that played Loras Tyrell.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's nothing like that, right?
He's nothing at all like that.
He doesn't look like him. It doesn't, like, it just it blew me away when I realized that was the same guy. Anyway, I have the unfortunate news to tell you that the next episode is Season 9, Episode 5, What Comes After, and...
No!
Supposedly, this is the last episode with Rick Grimes.
No!
Yes, Picard.
No!
It is Gimpled. The story is by Scott M. Gimple and Matthew Negretti. And Teleplay is by Matthew Negretti. So this is actually new. We originally thought that it was written by both of them, but I guess he only gets a story credit. So this is more up to date. So it's directed by Greg Nicotero, who, of course, all of you know. The description is, unfortunately, Rick is forced to face the past as he struggles to maintain the safety of the communities and protect the future he and Carl had envisioned.
It's a trap!
Are you kidding me?
All right. There was some stuff that I had Mark hold back on this episode, you know, because we had seen some stuff about this episode, so I wanted to wait until we got near the end. So, Mark, what did you want to say before?
Well, what I really wanted to say before was in the previews, you actually see Rick Grimes walking amongst a ton of dead bodies as he's bleeding out. A lot of these visions and everything else. That came actually from a variant issue of issue 100. It was a cover art. And all you see is Rick Grimes walking over the bodies of people that he's known. Sasha, Tyrese, Shane, Herschel, Dale, everybody. Now, these are visions of his past, of people that have passed away when he was in charge. These are things that he has to recollect. I'm thinking that we're going to see these things in his visions of his past, and that's how these things come about. I honestly don't want to see Rick Grimes go in a way where he is dying and trying to get back to Alexandria. It's kind of his journey back, and I think that's what that whole thing is, where if you saw the previews, you saw him talking to his early self when he was in the hospital, and the early self was calling him an a-hole, if we could say that.
And I am going to say that I can predict already that I'm going to have a week and or what sauce about that scene. I will tell you after we stop recording why, Mark.
Okay. But it seems that, you know, Rick is going through this whole thing in his head as he's losing blood and he's visioning everything, kind of like Daryl's journey or even Tyrese, because even Daryl was dealing with that when, you know, that walker was trying to bite him at the time when he was looking for Sophia and he was, he fell down a ravine and all he saw was visions of
Merle
at that time. And it was very heartaching, you know. But in this case, you know that Rick is severely wounded from the rebar. So he's trying to get back to Michonne and to Judith because he loves and cares and he wants to take care of everybody. I just hope we don't see that lonely walker from the previous show's intros where you saw Shane looking out the door and you see this walker walking amongst and then Rick just shows up. And I really don't want to see Maggie there with a crowbar and beating Rick to death or his zombie Rick to death in the head. But I really want to see that. My hope is wanting to see Rick being traded by Jadis and sent off in a helicopter. But that's just my prediction and my feeling and how I want it to happen. But we won't know until we actually watch the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I know that the things that I can say with some certainty is I mentioned one thing, of course, already, and that is we definitely know that Maggie makes it to Alexandria because there is a scene with that. The other thing that we know, and this is I know this because I have AMC Premiere and they have the first few minutes of the episode. We know that Rick gets off of that rebar. He's able to use a belt and he's able to propel himself off the rebar and he gets out. So, but the question is, you know, what does he do? And I want to think that he somehow is able to use Cordelia and Tybalt to make a levee, so to speak. Or dam with just piling on the dead walker bodies. That would be cool and would be pretty spectacular. I don't want to see something very similar to how Tyrese died. I thought that was a great, well, somewhat flawed episode because of the way that Tyrese died. I thought that a guy like him basically getting bit by a zombie kid was a pretty lame excuse for a death. But I enjoyed the portions of that. Stylistically, it was done. But I don't want to see something that's like that. I mean, I want to see something different. But I do appreciate that we are going to see several of the people from past episodes. And I think we know a few. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that there are several other people that we didn't know about.
I hope so.
But
the last part of Scott Wilson that we'll ever see.
Yeah.
And his memorial was amazing. Walker Stalker.
Oh, I should have. I didn't ask about that. So. But anyway, I hope that I'm not really like I don't want the feeling of overwhelming sadness to dominate that episode. I hope that there's enough there that's hopeful and that'll enjoy the episode. It's going to be really, really hard
for all of us
to accept his death if that's what happens. And I want to come out of next episode with him, you know, obviously sad to see his character go, but be really excited with the way things are going. So we shall see. All right. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.